just one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas. Call it lovely, right? Yeah. Magnificent.
Yeah, 100%.
Majestic. Downtown Las Vegas.
So not as many people in here today. They're always doing work to improve things.
They really are.
Like, it is amazing how often I see machines getting worked on or replaced here. It's incredible.
We get tweets of Beating the Book, Jordan Pagel. Are we getting a baseball megapod this year? Good to have you back. Morning's always better with you on ANG. Thank you, sir. Yes, we will have a baseball megapod. Here's the megapods. Here's the Beating the Book podcast schedule. Drew Densick and I are going to do an Indian Wells tennis podcast next week, week from today. That will be the, tennis's de facto fifth major. We always do that every year. And then we are going to do the March Madness megapod with Will Hill and Todd Wishnev. Will Hill, who called FAU in the Final Four last year on the podcast, and Todd, who I believe had UConn, who had the finals correct.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like that. Yeah. That one episode might have been the greatest predicting thing ever. Those are the next two, and we will get to baseball after that.
And Masters. Will and Matt Cox, right, on FAU last year? That was crazy.
Oh, somebody else was on FAU.
I think it was Matt.
A great call. FAU, by the way, not the same FAU this year.
Yeah, I still bet him like a week ago.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm like, they're sliding, Gil. There's value in the number now.
Jordan, there will be a baseball megabot come up. And Ian McDonald, people get really riled up when someone has a college hoops opinion. He said, Illinois more likely to lose the first weekend than make the Final Four, win the national championship. Turnovers, no point guard, no depth, in addition to no rim protection. So Ian is very bearish on Illinois. And Felica not buying into Duke or Creighton either. He's live texting also. He doesn't buy it with Duke or Creighton. Okay. NFL, this came down just here in the last day or so. A glut of free agent running backs and big name running backs in the NFL. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Kelly, all expected to become free agents in what promises to be a star-studded running back market. That was from sources telling ESPN yesterday. Raiders are going to attempt, just to be thorough, the Raiders are going to attempt to re-sign Jacobs, but they're not expected to tag him, especially with the franchise tag costing over $14 million. The Giants will speak with Saquon and explore a deal with him, but they're also unlikely to tag him. It'd be over $12 million for him. Cowboys not expected to use that same tag that the Giants would have to give Saquon on Pollard at all. Titans won't tag Derrick Henry. Chargers are expected to let Austin Eckler explore free agency. And if that's not enough for you, here are some other names that will be free agent running backs. DeAndre Swift, A.J. Dillon. Leaflet also, by the way, Kelly. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Zeke, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This is pretty fascinating.
Oh, it's crazy.
So,
I do have one question, though, right away.
Please.
Which you might not have the answer.
I have so much to say about this.
Why is Josh Jacobs, why would his franchise tag cost more than Saquon or Tony Pollard, which are the exact same number? Because isn't it the average of the top five paid at that position?
I don't know. I do not know the answer.
There's
got to
be some special rule because his number is a little bit more than Saquon and Tony Pollard.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to do with time served or anything.
It might. It's an unfair question.
Well, here's the thing about all this. Because you were saying off air, you're like, wow, this is an amazing thing. And my sort of reaction was, this to me is, we've had on a numbers game for years now, right? Adding back into the podcast also on Beating the Book and Dork before that. This conversation about NFL economics, right? First of all, we talk about, these are the greatest hits that we always talk about, that you can only win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on a rookie deal. You can pay all the rest of the players. He's overperforming on that rookie deal. Part and parcel with that is we say there's this economic cruelty to the system in the NFL because at a point in the arc of these quarterbacks' careers, teams are forced to commit nine figures to guys like Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, the Jared Goffs of the world, when you don't know if they're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. But the alternative is such that you almost have no choice. You end up paying them. more often than not. Daniel Jones, for God's sakes, got a big deal from the Giants. Obviously, they're rethinking that now. But you get it. Like, those are the two things we've talked about all the time on this show. The running back thing is affected by all that because this is a salary cap sport. And so, just let's go back in history. When I was a kid, Kelly, right, running back was the most important position in the NFL. And every team, not every team, but a lot of teams had great ones. Whether it was Sweetness with the Bears, Franco Harris with the Steelers, Riggins, whatever, everybody, that was the most important position in many ways in football. When I was a kid playing, when you were a kid playing, the best athletes ended up being running backs. Even my little buddy Owen, who's on the Ravens practice squad, when he was a kid playing county ball,
yep,
the best athletes played running back. But the game has changed. So, okay, let me go to another sport. In basketball, in the early 90s, right, when you had like Olajuwon and Ewing and David Robinson and Tim Duncan, all this, basketball, the NBA, was a sport where big men still dominated. If you had a great big man, that was the most important thing, how they played basketball then. There was even roster spots given to horrible backups, quite frankly, who were just there to spell the star, but they got a roster spot. Well, the NBA has changed drastically, right? Say it's Steph Curry started, whatever it is. Now teams understand spacing. The game has completely changed. For goodness sake, there's a higher and higher net offensive efficiency rating every year the record gets broken by a team. Celtics have the top one right now in the NBA, but other teams have great ones too. So it's the game has changed, and now they pay other... So in the NFL, getting back to the NFL, the game has changed such that these running backs, who remember last year had that Zoom call where they all got on the call together and they're like, what can we do about our financial plight? I feel bad for them. Like in the same way that Tommy Hearns just had the misfortune of being around when Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard were, these guys just have the misfortune of being around when they're around. Now the game is about passing. And back in the day when I was a kid, they weren't paying third and fourth wide receivers big money. Now they are. It's just the way that the money hasn't lessened. It's just redistributed. The other thing about that, getting back to the quarterback conversation, is when these teams are forced to make this cruel decision about, do we pay the Dak Prescotts of the world nine figures, not to pick on him, but that ilk, right, that level of quarterback who's not necessarily a Hall of Famer, do we commit the $9 million to them? Part and parcel with that is that there is a dearth, there is a lack of great quarterbacks. Literally, like, who's great? Is it 8? Is it 10? Is it 12? The point is that there's a scarcity of them. Kelly, all these running backs, like, we could have a whole sports talk radio conversation about who's better between these guys. Maybe Saquon's better than the rest of them. Maybe, right? Let's give him that. But, like, between Pollard and Jacobs and Eckler and Swift and
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry's and you know, it's like there's so many of them at the same time. There's a glut.
Yeah.
That in addition to that position being de-emphasized, why wouldn't a team like Edwards-Helaire was drafted in what round? Sixth or seventh?
No, he was.
But you can pay him a fraction, right? For let's say he's not as good. Let's say you quibble with that and you're like, well, he's not as good as the other guys. Okay, but you get 75-80% of the production for a fraction of the cost at a running back.
That dude was drafted in the first round.
Edwards-Helaire? Oh, no, not Edwards-Helaire. I'm thinking of Pacheco. I'm sorry. Pacheco, right? You're getting 80% or whatever percentage you want to place on it of the production at a fraction of the cost. So, like, yeah, we're going to see this for the near future.
You and I were texting about this. We really haven't spoken about it. So, yes, we saw what we saw last offseason, right? And that felt like the first offseason of, like, okay, the positions changed, how teams approach it has changed, the Zoom call, everything you laid out, right? So now if we're not tagging guys, we're not signing them to short-term deals to stay with the team, I mean, like, is this what we're going to see for the list of free agent running backs, like, every year?
For the near future, yes. You know what will change it?
I mean, all these guys signing one-year deals?
We're going to see a glut. You know what will change this? College, running backs still matter more in college than they do in the pros, relatively speaking. NIL is a big deal right now. Those guys are going to figure out that staying longer in college is a better financial move for them. That will create more of a scarcity of running backs in the NFL. And those that are good in the NFL, with those guys spending more time in college getting paid,
yeah,
we'll start to see their salaries increase a little bit. That's probably the way it changes. But in the short term, we're going to get this.
Like, this is wild. It's a wild time.
And how many of these guys actually move the needle and trigger a bet? How many of them? Saquon, yes. I think. But how many? That's the list.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean,
You think Derrick Henry's still Derrick Henry.
Right, that's what I was going to say. The problem is a little bit of the, you know, like, I would say Henry, Eckler, but, like, both of them they're getting a little bit older, right? Like, every time we talk about guys like that, they're getting a little bit older.
Listen,
Josh Jacobs is 26 years old. It's incredible.
Kelly, like, when Twitter first started, I'm talking about, like, 10, 11 years ago. The first time I ever got plagiarized by Darren Revelle, and who can't forget the first time they were plagiarized word for word by Darren Revelle? It wasn't even that clever. I wrote, and something happened with some running back at the time, but I wrote, "Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be running backs," playing off the old song. He literally 9 minutes later wrote the exact thing word for word, right? It's always been trending this way, and this is the result. Seeing it.
I think your point is right with the college stuff, because I think eventually the market is going to reset what running backs should actually be paid, but it might take a little bit
It's all cyclical, but it's going to take a while. And yes, over the near future, I do think we'll see this.
It's wild.
Going to be a bunch of musical chairs happening. We'll come back. Eric Eagle will join us from the Combine. We got some bets. We got tennis. We got basketball. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, sir,
we got Zach Cohen talking tennis betting tips and a lot more.
Sweet. Let's check that out. See what he's up to.
A lot of your bets.
Yeah, a lot of my bets are in there. Tennis every day. Every day. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. I will have a couple more tennis picks. One has already happened. One was a winner overnight. We're sweating a second one right now. Two more to come today, so we'll tell you about the two later on. And you have some NBA picks as well, right?
Yep, two plays in the NBA for me tonight. I did bet the Magic to win that division that Drew brought up.
Oh, you did
as well. Yeah,
yeah. Yep.
Right back to anti-heat. Lose me some money, Miami.
Say what now?
Said right back to anti-heat. Lose me some money, Miami. Let's go.
B. Morianen, and thank you, Brian M., for this. We didn't know the answer to the Josh Jacobs question. He answered it for us. Josh Jacobs was not tagged last year, so he gets 120% of his prior year's salary instead of the standard running back tag value. Barkley and Pollard were at the tag value last year. And then ND Money, he says, regarding BYU injuries, that's what happens when you get old. That's very true. Okay, let us discuss the NBA some more here, because, again, there's so much fodder in the NBA right now. And I meant what I said about what Drew. So you did bet Magic to win the division.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Southeast division of the NBA.
The glorious Southeast. Yeah. I was thinking about it preseason. I didn't have the stones to do it then. I was thinking about it like a week ago, and like the number hasn't moved. I bet it at +125 yesterday. I think anything with plus money is a good bet on the Magic right now. I think the Heat are tough to figure out, because if you told me they went on some ridiculous run again this year, I couldn't really argue with it, because who would have saw it coming a year ago either. But, man, like their regular season, it's been brutal. They've got some injuries they're dealing with now still. Obviously suspensions that they just had, but most of those guys will be back. Jimmy Butler, that was only one game. What they're doing on the court right now, there is nothing impressive about it. And then you got the Magic Franz Wagner, he missed some time. That was kind of the only time we saw them really dip this season. They're back to playing, you know, pretty good basketball. And they've got the easiest schedule left in the NBA. So, yeah, I like it. I like it for a division play.
Yeah, hard, as we were saying earlier, hardest schedule, the Phoenix Suns, their aggregate strength of schedule, or their remaining opponents' aggregate win percentage is 569 for the Phoenix Suns, and the Orlando Magic on the other side of the spectrum, 440.
Yep.
each team with 24 games, again, left in the season in their separate conferences here, heading towards the postseason, or at least those teams hope they are heading towards the postseason. We talked more about the West with Drew. I want to talk about the East a little bit. So the Celtics are the best team in basketball, plus 115 to win the East, and they're doing it with a lesser Jason Tatum than in previous years. Like, I know, like, Stephen A. was talking about them being, like, oh, he's an MVP. He's actually not as good this year as he was last year. The Celtics, what's the Celtics' Achilles? Porzingis getting hurt is probably their Achilles, right?
Yeah.
They don't want that happening.
Yeah. But that's like.
But it, that's where we're finding something.
Everybody
there.
Brings that up, yeah. Right? Like, brings that up as the number one thing. Of course, it's probably the number one concern for, like, you know, Tatum going down, right? It's every team it starts with that, though, right? Like, okay, well, this team's going to be okay if this guy doesn't go
down.
Right,
but there's some injury history there.
Correct.
That's why
correct.
We bring him up.
Yeah.
All right. So the other teams in the East, then, the Bucks in this grand experiment of losing defense by ridding themselves of Drew Holiday in the process of getting the offense with Dame. You know, you look at the NBA standings. It's funny, for as ho-hum as the Bucks seem to have been, right? Obviously firing a coach in the process. They are literally two games out of the loss column of being the number two team in the conference behind the Cavs. Do you, if I said to you, one of these teams, the Cavs or the Bucks, or the Sixers getting Embiid back, which is still a huge question mark in all of this, but I said one of those three teams beat, no, I'll throw in the Heat just because they're the Heat. One of those four teams, just because it's very awkward, because I want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
But if I said one of these teams, the Cavs, Bucks, Sixers with Embiid, or the Heat just doing Heat things, one of them beat the Celtics, who's the answer to that question?
Bucks, then Sixers with Embiid would be my second answer. I mean, that's what's really tough. So, like, right now, you look at these Eastern Conference odds. I don't think that there are. I'm not ruling out the Knicks or the Sixers. I am the guy like that. Like I was with the Chargers this year, where I'm finally on the bandwagon. Like, 3 years after people realized it was a dumb bet to, like, bet them to make the playoffs, I'm that guy with the Knicks this year. Like, 2 years after everybody was excited about the Knicks, I'm now excited about the Knicks. They've got injuries that are almost as critical as the 76ers. And if Julius Randle doesn't get back, they have no chance. So, I mean, right now, OG Anunoby and Julius Randle are both out of that lineup. I think if they were fully healthy, what this team had put on display before those guys left, you think you could make an argument for them? I think you could definitely make an argument for them being the second best team in the East. The Sixers, I feel like, and I think this applies to both the Knicks and Sixers, the more and more time that goes on without us getting an update on these guys' situations, it feels
I totally agree
more and less and less likely that we're going to see them return or return anytime soon to a point that it's going to matter.
It is awfully quiet on the Embiid front, isn't it?
Yes, it's very quiet. So that right away, it kind of, and I was telling you this during a break, we'll look at some more of these tomorrow, some NBA exactas. Like, I'm kind of attacking some of the futures markets, because this is not, like, team futures bets that I've had throughout the year. I don't have a single bet on a team to win the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, or the NBA Finals. Nothing. I have absolutely nothing. The only thing I've done that I started last week is I'm going to start attacking the Celtics like we attacked the 49ers. And it's wrap up some exactas in the Western Conference with teams that you think have drifted a little bit over the next, you know, basically from now through the end of the regular season, when I think there's a little bit of a drift.
How did that end up working out for us with the Niners? I forget.
It worked out pretty well. Your exact didn't hit, but you made money off of it, which is the whole point of this.
Yeah.
So, like, the Thunder, I wrapped in one with the Celtics. That's where I started. So that's 40-1. I grabbed that. And I think that's the way that you can attack that with the Celtics at the top.
Who is the most mispriced team to you in either of these conferences when you talk about conference or league?
It's probably, I think it's the Thunder. That's why I started. I agree with Drew. I think the fact that they're that much further out, that much longer than the Clippers and the Nuggets is a little insane right now.
Are you now?
What's tough though is the Timberwolves. I don't really feel that.
Okay, I was just about to say.
Yeah, literally.
Beat me to it. We've neglected the team that is in the number one slot right now in the West, which is the Timberwolves, and no one seems to really be feeling them, as you to use your words.
Yeah, it's. I think they could very much. I think there's a good chance they finish with the one seed. I mean, they're the percentages would tell you that there's a really good chance they finish with the one seed. And if not the one seed, they're finishing with the two seed probably. They're a team that I think is just going to be, they're going to have problems in once we get in the playoffs. You're talking about seven game series. The offense can sputter at times. There's going to be teams that are going to be able to throw some different schemes at Minnesota to get Rudy Gobert off the court, or Gobert and Kat are just going to have problems staying on the court together with what teams are going to throw at them. I think you can make the same argument about the Thunder a little bit, like on the complete reverse there. Like if you can throw some bigs at the Thunder, they're going to have some trouble with that. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Chet Holmgren, but I believe in Chet Holmgren. I think the Timberwolves, they're the team that's going to struggle once we get into the playoffs.
All right, I'm contracted.
Oddly, Gil, like their best matchup's probably Denver. Like they want Denver so they can throw Gobert at Jokic.
Dude, I meant that question I asked to Drew. I thought I feel like the Nuggets, who again, this just in, are defending champions. I feel like there's a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes possum in here. Because remember, again, if you look back on the NFL season, what's the one headline? The Chiefs weren't all that good most of the regular season, and they still won the Super Bowl because they had Michael Jordan. It feels a little bit like that with the Nuggets. Kind of, sort of.
Totally.
If we woke up in the Western Conference Finals and they're there and they're up two games to nothing, we'd be like, oh, yeah.
No surprise whatsoever. They're a team that, for what they've done this season, and I'll even go back to the offseason of them losing Bruce Brown, I do think it's important that their depth is not what it was a year ago. I don't think they're quite as good of a team from a year ago.
Well, I would agree with that.
Your point is right. They still have the best player, and they're still good enough to absolutely go out there and win.
Because Jamal Murray, we thought might be a superstar, never really got better. He's a great level, but he never got like superstar. Michael Porter Jr.
He's the most frustrating.
Hasn't really lifted it up. Yeah. But they have Michael Jordan on the team in the face of, you know, quote unquote, with Jokic there. Last question, because I'm contractually obligated to answer this. If the Warriors get in, should a team be scared to play them?
Oh, totally. And that applies to the Lakers too. I don't think.
Oh, I noticed that when I was gone, that the Lakers were still whining about calls.
Yeah.
Even though they have like the fifth best discrepancy in the league or something. Like,
probably only one of them's getting in, but you've got to be scared of Steph Curry, LeBron James, anytime.
That's what I wanted to hear, Kelly. Eric Eager has a stopwatch, ladies and gentlemen. He's in Indianapolis. He's at the Combine. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG, folks. Like a numbers game. Like the fine program you're listening to right now. Back to you, Gil.
Get your first year VSiN Pro access for only $199 when you use the promo code ANG. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin here in a numbers game. I have a mea culpa, and thank you to Andrew Rin for pointing this out. You know, we're going through the formula. And the exceptions, 2014 UConn Huskies had a bunch of them. And then the only other one was Baylor with one of the, the defense efficiency. They were 22nd. There is another exception that with all March Madness last year, we failed to note, but obviously didn't make the transfer over to my notes this year. Danny Hurley never got to a Sweet 16 before UConn won it last year. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that very much. Andrew Rin checking in. So we got to add that as one of the exceptions. So the Sweet 16, the coach never having been to a Sweet 16 beforehand, Kevin Ollie and Dan Hurley are now the exceptions.
Wait, but you got there last year?
No. It doesn't matter when you do it that the year of. Prior to the year of the championship, the only coach prior to last year who won a championship.
Yeah.
So okay. Dan Harrell, but I didn't add him as a, but thank you, Andrew Rin. We got a correction there. That's very true. FoxPHLGambler.com says, while I don't disagree about it being quiet, Embiid was at the game on Sunday. If he was still in hiding, I would have a worse feeling.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Trust the glove. Thanks for the analysis and your thinking. I just don't have time to focus on my sports betting. Doesn't stop me as long as ANG and Gil is available to me. Please take this delegation of my thinking seriously. Thanks, but tennis? Question mark. I don't know. That took about five different turns. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you slowly went through that one. Yeah,
he was with us, and he wasn't with us. He loved us, that he didn't.
I didn't know where that was turning, yeah.
And the tennis picks are coming, I promise. All right, we'll let him work it out. Eric Eager joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Eric Eager. He is the host of the Sumer Sports Show over at Sumer Sports, a vice president at Sumer Sports. He joins us now from Indianapolis. And Eric, let me just ask you this. Are you there to time these players, or are you there to schmooze? What's your priority?
Well, schmooze is the number one name of the game for, like, basically everybody, because no one runs the 40 really anymore. So, it's schmooze first, time people second.
Okay. And where does the combine rank for you in terms of your football calendar, in terms of enjoyment level?
The combine is the number one football event. I think that, yeah, the Super Bowl is cool. But the fact that you and I were both at the Super Bowl and we were like unable to even connect, I think shows like kind of the craziness.
True.
And the sort of franticness. I don't usually go to a combine without seeing kind of like everybody who I care to see. And I think that that's obviously a special part of it. So I think the combine is the better event. The Super Bowl is cool, but I think the Super Bowl is like firmly second place.
Do you look to bet this event? Like, is there a certain player that you are focused on that you think could, if not on a combine prop, right? If not on whoever ends up posting those, but in terms of like a draft position that you're focused in on?
Well, I think like right now, you know, the limits are pretty low on things like 40-yard dash and like whether there'll be, I mean, you always want to bet the no on whether there'll be, you know, a record-setting bench press or record-setting 40 and that kind of thing. It's almost always, you know, sharp to bet the no. For most players, it's good to bet for them to do poorly. And in most cases, it either voids or it wins. But those limits are pretty low. And then when it comes to, draft positions, I don't think I've ever made a wager while at the combine that ended up being plus EV. The information that comes out of here, like I think 2 years ago, I came out of the combine thinking Ike Ekwonu would be the first pick overall and, you know, taking him 9-1 and then that thing getting down to kind of even money or something like that. And then him not even being anywhere close to the conversation by the time the thing was said and done. Malik Willis 2 years ago was also thought of, you know, Mike Tomlin saying how much he liked him, and then he took Kenny Pickett instead. So a lot of smoke and mirrors. I think that the combine is not going to give you that kind of information unless, you know, and the markets aren't that mature. I mean, especially – these books are so nervous to place all that many props right now anyway, most of the time a guy is going to fall after this event, and a lot of guys are not participating, and a lot of these sports books are not participating right now. So there's not a ton of information that you're going to make immediately actionable from this event.
Kelly, trivia question, fastest 40 time at the combine in history?
No idea. Chris Johnson?
Oh, second. Good guess. 4.24. John Ross, 4.22.
Ah, yeah.
Nice try, though.
He was up there.
So let's combine aside then, Eric. Is there, as you look forward to the draft, is there anything specific you are anticipating? Is it Marvin Harrison to be matched with a team? Is there any specific thing you're looking for?
Yeah, I think Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals is the best I have as far as, you know, player to team. That's the info that I continue to get from a bunch of independent sources. The one that's interesting to me is, you know, Jaden Daniels to a team not the Patriots, or Drake May, a team not the Patriots. And right now, you know, if you look at the markets, you know, Daniels is a slight underdog for two, but it's kind of been drifting in his direction. The Patriots trading out of pick 3 is a really good question, because then I think you can get some plus EV on who is that team and who is moving up to take that pick. And, you know, is it going to be like the Jets in 2018? Is it going to be like the 49ers in 2021? Are they going to move up well before the draft and take a position on that pick before the draft? Because that'll also, I think, you know, really shape the markets as well. But those are a couple. The other one that's really, when you look at every single mock draft that has Brock Bowers not going to the Los Angeles Chargers at 5, he doesn't really go in the top 10, which again is another interesting one where if you can sort of corner that market where you kind of hedge off Bowers to the Chargers, but also eventually find an over on his pick position, that might be a plus EV play that, you know, might be an arbitrage opportunity for you as well.
Okay, we'll have plenty of time to talk more about the draft between now and then, 2 full months to discuss this. In our remaining 2 minutes, because you and I haven't had a chance to talk about the Super Bowl specifically, but I'm more interested in, as you look back at the season, with Kansas City obviously emerging at the top of the heap in the end, but as you look back on the entire stretch of it, the entire arc of the season, what is your biggest lesson learned? Let's do it macro. What's the thing that you will take away the most from this past season, handicapping wise?
That it's always the better quarterback almost always overcomes circumstances. You know, we the league engineered themselves to basically try to take Patrick Mahomes away. And, you know, I wrote this in a bunch of group chats. I might even send it to you, Gil. You had the best player of all time on the probably, maybe not the best player of all time, but one of the best quarterbacks of all time on the most well-rounded team he's ever going to be on, getting, you know, 2.5-ish or better, 3 consecutive games, which are a thing you're never going to get again. And, you know, the markets just kind of let us have that, which I just don't know, given how sharp the NFL market is, if you're ever going to get that again. And I feel like we all kind of overthought it a little bit. And to me, it's just, there was so much good about the Ravens. There was so much good about the Bills. There was so much good about the San Francisco 49ers ultimately. But even though this league has done so much to take away the quarterback, and there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have retired in recent years, it still is ultimately about that position.
It is, and it's particularly so with this guy, right? Because he is Michael Jordan. And as long as he's around, because to me, I agree with you, and I think that was my biggest, I think I said it the next morning, which is we just have to remember that no matter how bad this team looks in any given year at any time, they still got him, Patrick Mahomes, and they should be considered the favorite perhaps just by default every single season with this guy. And some of us have learned that lesson, harder than others. Eric, enjoy your time at the Combine. Let us know if there's anything actionable and bettable, will you?
I promise I will, Gil. It's been great to be on, and it was good to hear your voice.
Too, man. Dr. Eric Eager, everybody, from Sumer Sports, host of the Sumer Sports Show, and again, VP at Sumer Sports. Happy to have him on here at the Combine. He says it's number one. Kelly's got some hoops picks. I got some tennis picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use the promo code VSiN. That's V-S-I-N when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Oh, just sweating the end of a tennis match here, Kelly, as this is going on.
Yeah,
update coming momentarily.
Yeah, what do you got? Couple more points to go, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. But you know, they can go against you. That's match point. Let's go, baby. Get it done, Jakub Benzik. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Alvarez. Welcome back, Mr. DeBook. When you were out yesterday, I thought, here comes the COVID week off for Gil so that he gets 3 weeks off before the madness push. Congrats on being a good employee. I had under 2.5 segments before the formula was mentioned. Brian M. saying, Kevin Ollie and Dan Hurley both made the Sweet 16 as players. Maybe it can just tweak to the formula. Now, I would tweak it as, it's just you have to be a UConn coach.
Right, yeah.
Which, by the way, Felica ends up...
players one works out well, though. You could just do it. Yeah, you could slide that in.
UConn is such an exception to everything. He did not get the match point. 13 of the last 16 national champions were a 1 or 2 seed. The 3 that weren't, all UConn teams. A 3, 4, and 7. Wow. They're the exception to everything. And this is also from... This is from James Sutt. Shout out to you, Gil, for sending out tennis picks on vacay. Appreciated that. Also, you'd be happy to know I made some on my own because been watching and enjoying tennis and even hit Paolini in the final at 2-1. There you go.
There we go.
Nicely done.
Yeah, you were doing a great job getting bets out. It was it was funny because when Ben was in here on Wednesday, it was like the immediate like, all right, Ben Wilson's on the show. Like, talk college baseball. What are you doing here otherwise?
That's great.
That's great.
He just got broken.
We did a lot of college baseball last week, man. It was Ben Wilson in the house.
We just had a sphincter titan experience in this tennis match here. We did not win the match. It is still going on. So, so here's the deal with regards to tennis.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit about this off air.
Where are we this week? Where are we in the world? I have no idea.
We're in 5 different places.
Whoa.
The women are here in North America. They're in Austin, Texas, and in San Diego.
Okay.
Hard courts.
And then Indian Wells next week or week after?
Indian Wells is next week. Literally, it starts in the middle of the week. So the draw is a week from today. Drew and I are going to do the podcast at some point Tuesday. I'm like letting people know now. And then the tournament starts Wednesday. So it's a really quick turnaround on the podcast. But that's they put the draw in the first matches real close together. So we'll do that. But and then the men are 3 different places, 2 on hard courts, 1 on clay right now. So it's all over. I mean, literally these last few weeks have been like, 15 different tournaments.
Yeah.
So it's funny, again, with handicapping, and I do tennis based on data, based on raw numbers. And 2020, great year. 2021, spectacular. People will remember the hard courts of 2021. 2022, not as good. 2023 was a loser. This year, those numbers have come back in a spectacular kind of way.
Nice.
Up currently, as this match goes on right now, up 16.5 units on the year in matches. 16.5. By the way, it's still February. We're not even 2 months into this. So we're up 16.5 units. The only leak has been I had Iga at the Australian Open. And I had Iga this last week at Dubai, also had her at Doha the week in between. So we did have one winner on her, but we're 1-2 in terms of the futures with Iga. So that's the only leak. But match by match, this has been ridiculously good in 2 months. So we had two, getting to the point. These are all at VSiN.com/picks. This is for subscribers. Every host, every guest on the network, all the picks on every show gets on VSiN.com/picks. We also cull them into a little expert section as well. That's just who's running hot at the time. But you got to be a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks. Now, because it's a numbers game tradition to talk about these picks if they haven't gone yet, I'm going to continue to do that. So we had two already. One was a winner already this morning on Jiří Lehečka. That was a winner. And right now we have Jakub Mensik taking on Borna Coric. And it's a tight one here in the third set. We'll see if this ends before I don't think it will finish before the end of the show, but we're on Mensik here. The two that have yet to go, and Kelly, as always with these, because I give them out at night, I'm going to check to see based on the price currently, and forgive me, I'm doing a show.
I had to do the same thing for NBA where I had one move wildly from what I bet last night, Gil, but then it swung back towards my number.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So on the ladies' side, and this is in Austin, Texas, I am on Sara Bejlek. Let me tell you how that's spelled. It's spelled like Sara Bejlek, but it's pronounced Sara Bejlek.
Yeah, it's probably better.
It's a coin flip now with Angelina Kalinina. I got her at a better price last night. I got her at at plus 101, so 11 cents better. I would still play it. I think she should be favorite, and it is a coin flip here. I think the value is still on Sara Bejlek against Angelina Kalinina. That goes off, and you know how these tennis matches work. Sometimes they happen on time, other times they don't, because whoever's reserved on that specific court is still playing a longer match, so it might not go off exactly at 11 a.m. Pacific, but Bejlek is the first play today. And then the second one of the two remaining, that is, because these are actually the third and fourth plays, The fourth one and the final one is actually a big dog. I know how much you like the big dogs on these.
Oh, yeah. Big dog. Big dog.
This is, and again, I'm looking for the price. Okay, so this is right where I bet it. This actually, to your point, got better and then came right back to where I was. This is, you know, this one is spelled. This is in Acapulco. Later tonight. This is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Again, times will fluctuate. I am on what looks like Terence Atmain. It is Terence Atmanet. I believe he's French.
You are so doing it the right way. Yeah. Though. Like,
but it's but you'll see it as Terence Atmain. Yeah. He's at plus 169. I got him at plus 170 against Dominic Kepfer. I just think that's mispriced tremendously. His numbers on lower tours are really good. And I don't think Kepfer is that big of a giant here that he should be nearly this big of a favorite. I think Atmanet should be a small dog in this, not nearly as close as plus 170. So, and plus 169 as it is now. So he's the other play. So it's Sara Bielik on the women's side later, and Terence Atmanet on the men's side.
Bejlik
and Atmain.
And Atmain.
That's all you need to know.
It is funny because that is the way easier way for people to look it up.
Yeah.
I got two in the NBA tonight. The one I'm kind of laughing about, Warriors-Wizards. Under. I played under 243 last night. I woke up this morning. It was down to 238.5, and it has swung all the way back, Gil, where I see 244s on the board now. So I don't really understand the movement there. There are some injuries to note. Chris Paul will be back in the lineup for the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if you caught my note on the rundown.
I did. Me and Chris Paul.
You and Chris Paul returning on the same night.
I called him up. I was like, Chris, I'm going to go back. He's like, okay, I will too.
Were you guys hanging out on the banana boat together down in Miami? That's obviously. Oh my gosh, I should have had that graphic made. Why did I not? I thought of this yesterday. I texted you about it, man. Come on. All right, Wizards and Warriors tonight. I did play under. Wizards on their side. Landry Shamet, Denny Avdia, Corey Kispert, all questionable for tonight. Bilal Coulibaly will be out. Yes, one of the better perimeter defenders in the NBA. This Wizards team, though, man, they are a little bit in the tank right now. And the other one, that what's very different from what they were doing beginning of the season, it was, okay, they could score a little bit, and they're letting everybody score on them. Now they can't score. Their last point totals, I mean, well, you brought up the Denny Avdia game because that's like the one, this is one of the few great performances they've had recently. Here are their team point totals. So if you want to play a team total under on the Wizards, I wouldn't argue with that one either. 105, 106, 110, 126, 104, 113, 129, 106, 112, 102, 109 over their past 11 games that are all losses. They can't score right now. They're still letting other teams score, but teams aren't having to do all that much to get by them. We saw that with Cleveland in their last game, where I played an under in that one, too. I think it's what you're going to see. I was shocked to see that the total was about 12 points higher than it was when they hosted Cleveland two nights ago for Golden State. So I'm under that. I really like that at up to 244 now. I don't really understand that. You know, we talked about the Warriors' resurgence here a bit. Really, the side that's not getting talked about as much is the defense and how much better it's been playing since Draymond Green.
I was going to say, I wonder who showed up for that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But everybody's talking about, you know, Klay going out of the lineup, what they've done offensively to fix the lineup. It's been so much Draymond coming back and that defense really getting better. So under there, and then I'm with Drew on the Pelicans tonight. I played it lightly to start, though. You might want to wait some more injury info here. Zion, questionable tag right now. CJ McCollum, questionable tag for that game tonight. Knicks, though, this is 3-4 for them. Back-to-back situation after their game last night. This Pelicans team playing some really good basketball here recently. Late 2.5. I think 3 you could start with right now. I'm going to add more if I see Zion and McCollum.
We were talking hypotheticals in terms of playoff matchups with Drew earlier. If the Pacers and the Bucks have a series, what's the total of game one?
Oh, man. Well, you're going to have a whole new Bucks defense by then, Gil. A cop-out answer.
We've done all we can do. The Golics are next. Levitard on DK. Enjoy.